Be turning to two places in God's hymn book, the book of Psalms. The first one is in Psalm 33. The second one in Psalm 9. Psalm 33 and Psalm 9. Please stand together with me. Reverence to God's word. Looking into his word for his direction and his help in these days, for sure. Psalm 33, 12. We'll read that one first, where the word of God says, "Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord, and the people whom he hath chosen for his own inheritance." Blessed or happy is the nation whose God is the Lord. But in verse 17 of Psalm 9, we see David with a bit of a different tone, to say the least. Where in that verse it says, well, let me read. In verse 16 it says, "The Lord is known by the judgments which he executeth. The wicked is snared in the work of his own hands. Hagion Selah. The wicked shall be turned into hell, and all the nations that forget God." Father, we bow before you and ask you to take your word. Open it before us. Lord, help us to receive your message to our hearts today, that this church, Father, I pray that we would be in tune with our God. Not after our own imagination, our own understanding, our own reason, but that we would bend the knee to the God of glory, allowing your word to have its way. We take heed. We take our lesson from it today, and model and our lives for your glory, for your honor. Pray, Father, oh God, I pray that you might once again visit us with your presence, move in our midst, dealing with hearts and lives, starting right here behind this desk, and we will, Father, be quick to give you the glory, the honor, and the praise. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. You may be seated, of course. Well, yesterday, celebrated the 4th of July. And actually, I went home from the church after camp, and I celebrated by taking a nap. But there were many in our neighborhood celebrating last night, I could hear. But the official anniversary, I guess, of our nation's independence from England. And regardless of what the government schools teach or what's coming out of Washington, D.C. and the universities of our day and what they want to tell us. Maybe you don't agree with this, but you come too late to tell me different. I confidently believe that it was God that birthed this nation, that he brought it into existence to further his work and his kingdom in this world. How long he continues to let us even exist, we'll leave with him. And it might be a question worth asking. The United States of America, at 244 years of age. Sounds like a long time. But that's not very long in comparison to some of the other nations of this world have been around. But at 244 years of age, it's still the greatest nation, my estimation, that has ever existed. Yes, we have problems. Some of them are serious problems. Sure. But in my opinion, whatever that's worth, it is still the best place to live on this earth planet. Amen. Try living somewhere else. The United States is great not because of world dominance. Because the United States has never been a world empire. Think about that. The United States of America has never tried to be a world empire. Going back through history, we go all the way back to Babylon, the Greek Empire, the Persian, even the Roman Empire. We could think of those who have aspired to be world empires, like Germany and the Soviet Union. But it's never been the United States' desire to become a global empire. No. The United States has been great because what she has been. And in these days, I'm afraid that we may be closer to being a has-been. If we believe the Bible is the Word of God, and considering our great Christian heritage, those two verses from David's pen that we just read should indeed speak volumes to us. It's obvious that our nation has been greatly blessed by God, but it's also obvious that we are rapidly forgetting God, as David wrote. That we are rapidly forgetting God as a nation, and that should alarm us. The title of the message was, "We Are Forgetting God." Now, we can have a second title to that. We could have as a nation, I believe we have forgotten God. And as Christians, I'm afraid in our churches, we are forgetting God. Forgetting God. As a nation. As a nation, we're in a bigger hurry to remove God from our lives than a lady trying to get to a clearance sale. We have those that are rewriting history to erase any semblance, any record of what our founding fathers thought of God. Today, oh my, even last night in Baltimore, there was a mob that yanked down a statue of Christopher Columbus and dumped it in the harbor. I wonder what they think they accomplished. They going to change history by that? They're not going to change history. The mobs are destroying monuments across the country. Dear ones, now please listen to this. Dear ones, regardless of whether we would agree with the actions or beliefs that of the individual or the event that that monument represents, maybe its design is not something we're particularly fond of, but consider that there's a consequence that is not being, how do I say this? That you remove those monuments and you remove the opportunity to remember and learn from what those, even if they're things that you don't agree about. A Civil War monument from either side can and should remind us of the injustice of slavery. Are we going to be able to wipe that portion of our history away by destroying the monuments? But those monuments will remind us of that injustice and the horribleness of those days. Consider this. With that thought, consider this. Why is it that Germany doesn't go in to places like Auschwitz and get rid of those horrible, awful ovens where the Jews were murdered in? Because they don't want this world. Germany does not want to forget that they were responsible, the Nazis were responsible for murdering 6 million Jews. Nearly half the population of Jews in that day were murdered. And those awful, can I dare use the word monument, of man's cruelty, his indifference, remind us, and trust we'd learn. You know, I doubt this is being taught in any public school across our land, but George Washington was known as a man of prayer. I have a picture, thanks to a dear friend in our church above my desk of George Washington kneeling beside his horse at Valley Forge praying. He kept a daily prayer journal. Do we keep a daily? Do you keep a prayer journal? Some of us probably do. Listen to this Monday morning entry from Washington's prayer journal. Again, from the pen of George Washington. Direct my thoughts, words, and work. Wash away my sins in the immaculate blood of the Lamb. Purge my heart by thy Holy Spirit from the dross of my natural corruption, that I may with more freedom of mind and liberty of will serve thee, the everlasting God, in righteousness and holiness this day and all the days of my life. They've been trying to tear down monuments and statues of George Washington. Makes my head hurt. The cancel culture doesn't say much about George Washington's prayer life, does it? Concerning our nation's independence, John Quincy Adams, the sixth president and son of John Adams, declared in 1837, he penned these words. He said, the birthday of the nation is indissolubly linked with the birthday of the Savior. It forms a leading event in the progress of the gospel dispensation. The Declaration of Independence laid the cornerstone of human government upon the first precepts of Christianity. Oh, to hear some government leaders make statements like that today. Genuinely, we are a nation that is in a hurry and to our peril to forget God. Let me ask a question. What happens? What happens when a nation forgets God? Clearly, the words of the psalmist indicate that it will come under the judgment of God. At the very least, it'll lose the blessing of God. Let's look at a couple examples for a few moments. You know, when preachers say that, it's time to look out. A couple examples, and we'll make some conclusions. What happened to Israel? Israel had a great time of glory in its history. Oh my. Under the leadership of King David, Israel became a great nation. She had beaten back her enemies from her borders. And God gave David and Israel amazing, even miraculous victories over the opposition that came against them. God was pleased to extend and enlarge Israel under the rule and reign of David's son, Solomon. But it became very clear to David as he wrote what we read from Psalm 33:12, that God is pleased to bless the nation whose God is the Lord. Capital L, capital O, capital R, capital D. The one and the only Jehovah God. God had established Israel as a testimony to the rest of the world that he was a good God, that he was a God that would extend his salvation even, aren't you thankful, to Gentiles. We read from the prophet Isaiah in chapter 49 and verse 6. Isaiah is relating the words of God. And he says, I will also give thee, speaking to Israel, I will also give thee for a light to the Gentiles, that thou mayest be my salvation unto the end of the earth. Israel was God's light to the world. That there is a creator and the keeper of this of the universe that works in the lives of men, and that he would bless them greatly as he was honored in their midst. In his mercy, God blessed King Solomon for David's sake. Because even Solomon, Even Solomon wavered in his fidelity to God. The glory of Israel became infamous. It was famous in the known world. The Queen of Sheba traveled to Israel, and she sums up her declaration when she visited that amazing court of Solomon. She observed everything in that city. It was a city that was studded with jewels and glory within and without. In 1 Kings chapter 10, verse 7, she declares, she says, "Behold, the half was not told me. Thy wisdom and prosperity exceedeth the fame which I had heard." Yes, we see Israel's time of glory, but the Word of God also records Israel's time of reproach. After David's death, the leaders of Israel, including Solomon, soon forgot God. Quickly forgot God and how it was God that had made them a great nation. The people began to worship the idols and the pagan gods of the nations around them. Oh yes, they thought it was fine to do their sacrifices and worship Jehovah. But they thought, oh, maybe we should do some due diligence to these other nations' gods in whose land we've taken. They swerve from their allegiance to God. They forgot that the Lord their God had ordered them, no, had commanded them to completely remove all trace of idolatrous worship from their midst. Where do we read that? Exodus chapter 20. And those first few commandments of the Ten Commandments deal with how they were to be loyal to their God and their God only, the God that had delivered them. What happened to Israel? They forgot God. They forgot God. And God removed His blessing and His protection and their enemies soon put them in bondage. Well, an example from world history. What about England? What happened to England? England had her time of glory, had a great time of glory. In years past, it was said that the sun never set on the British Empire. That little seeming insignificant island nation had territories and possessions that circled the globe. How could such a tiny nation become so prominent in the world? Because God was pleased, God had determined to use them in the ministry of the gospel, the ministry of the gospel to the world. English merchant ships crisscrossed the globe, and on those ships were English gospel missionaries, such as William Carey to India, David Livingston to Africa, C.T. Studd to the Belgian Congo and China and India including, and many, many other missionaries that traveled from England. They took the gospel of Jesus Christ to the remotest places of this earth planet, including the Americas. Great Britain's impact on the world is unquestionable. I remember standing at the harbor in Mumbai, or as commonly known as Bombay, India, in 1995. And there at that, there's a special docking area. It stands a massive 85-foot arch, high arch. It's called the Gateway to India. It was built to commemorate the visit of King George V and Queen Mary of England in 1911. Impressive. You travel about the city of Bombay, the city of Mumbai. You travel about the city. And if you did not know you were in India, you would think you were in England as you look at the buildings and so forth. The culture, the architecture of England in its heyday was carried around the world along with the gospel. But then we have to also deal with England's time of reproach. Where does England figure into world events today? Very little, really. Who cares much about what England thinks or does in the world? What happened to England? England forgot God. England forgot God. England was once a nation of churches. Every village, every hamlet had a church and a preacher of the gospel. Today, England's churches are used for cattle stables, pizza shops, car garages, and even nightclubs. They're not needed for churches anymore. Because now only 2% of the English population attends church on any kind of a regular basis. 2%! She's not sending missionaries anymore. Missionaries are now going there to try to reach an extremely cold-hearted people towards the gospel. Oh my. Again, what happened to England? She forgot God. England forgot God. Well, we can't stop there. Yes, those two examples, one from the scriptures, another from history, world history. And I want to ask the question, what about the United States? What about the United States of America? She's had a time of glory. She's had a time of glory like no other. Again, let me affirm my belief that America is still the greatest place to live in the world. I'm not much of a world traveler. I've been to around 10 countries over the years. So I can't speak as a world authority. But I still say this. I'm always thankful to set foot back on American soil. America is not perfect and has glaring flaws. But this country, this nation, at one time had the reputation around the world of the defender of those in need. If not for the United States of America, it's quite likely Europe would be speaking German today. But even more importantly, America has seen amazing times of Holy Spirit revival. As the fruit of those revivals, there has been literally thousands saved and thousands of gospel missionaries go to the far reaches of this earth planet. Our Christian heritage is what made us great. Missionaries. I mean, shortly after the war for our independence in the 1780s, Adoniram Judson, one of the first American missionaries, was making his way to the mission field. Our Christian heritage is what made us great. We have been blessed because our God was Jehovah God, the Lord. Please, young people, I don't care what they tell you in their schools, in the schools. Don't you believe the rewriting of history? Amen. Read the original documents if you want to know the truth of what our founders believed. She had her time of glory, but what about a time of reproach? What about a time of reproach? We must once again ask the question, Where are we in God's estimation today? How does God feel? I hate to use that word. It's kind of a bad way of saying this. How does God feel about the millions of unborn babies that have been murdered in the name of a woman's choice, which really boils down to expedience? What does God think about the normalizing of sodomy as just another sexual preference? I'm told now that there's any number of gender choices that someone can identify with. Silly me, I thought there was only two. What is God's opinion of removing him from our education of our children? How does God look at the churches of our day? That's the important question. Breaks my heart. I'm told that Metropolitan is doing pretty good in light of this virus. I've been talking to pastors here and there, and their attendances have been down to half. That's sad. That we're more afraid of a virus than we are of being in God's house, worshiping him and trusting him. Yes, I try to be a good example to you all, but this thing just about suffocates me. But I still wear it in respect to other people. What's happening to America? I believe America is forgetting. And might I say quickly, rapidly, forgetting God. As he is more, our great God is more and more being removed from our society. The reason for America's former greatness was to be found in her churches. But I also believe that the reason for the movement that we're having away from God is found in our churches. How can that be, preacher? We don't hear the call from the pulpits of our churches to fear God and serve him. To serve him and to serve him alone. No, our culture is too sophisticated for that. Spare me the sophistication. I'm just a country boy that his wife still has to tell him to wipe his feet when he comes in the house. No. We are a people. Listen to me. We are a people consumed with our leisure and our entertainment. Amen. And in a huge way, that philosophy is infiltrated our churches as well. Wherein entertainment is more important than the preaching of the Word of God. Amen. God has allowed a veil of spiritual blindness to come over the eyes of our nation. I believe he's allowed it. So that now we can't even see the reason for our decay. What's the reason? We are and have forgotten God. But, I'm always glad to get to the but. But, the Bible still contains the answer. The Bible still has the answer. Hey, I still say the Pledge of Allegiance to that flag. I'm so thankful. Hey, we bought a 5-foot by 8-foot flag to put up there in the gym for our young people for this week. It'll be up there for as long as I'm around here. You'll not shame me concerning this nation. But we need help. To lambaste or criticize doesn't do any good. Amen. We need to be on our knees. Amen. And begging God for his help and his mercy in these days. or help us. There is an answer. Moses warned Israel. Moses wasn't permitted to enter, to cross Jordan into Israel. But before the people passed into Israel, Moses, through the Lord, gave them this warning in Deuteronomy chapter 8, verse 18. Now listen, what's our problem? We're forgetting God. He warned him and said, "But thou shalt remember the Lord thy God. For it is He that giveth thee power to get wealth. That He that established His covenant, which He sware unto thy fathers, it is this day." God had warned Moses that the day would come when Israel would forget God. Moses is a challenge in them. What? Remember. Remember who it is that's blessed you. God told Solomon, if you're mindful, on that day that they celebrated the completion of the temple there in Jerusalem. Great celebration going on in the city. And Solomon has prayed, seeking and asking for God's blessing. But God gives Solomon a warning. God gave Solomon a warning because He said there will be that day. The day will come when you will forget me. You will turn to the idols and the pagans. And God warned them. But He also gave them the answer. You know the words. In 2 Chronicles chapter 7. In verse 14, where God said to Solomon, He said, "If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves." What was Israel's problem? In Deuteronomy, the warning was, "The day will come when you'll take credit for what I've done." You'll take credit for being a great nation. And God warned him, "You need to remember who it was that made you great." And through Solomon, God warns them again. They were on the threshold of a great apostasy from God. "If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray." What's the answer for our land? Is it protests and riots? Is it tearing down? No. It's seeking God. "If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray, seek my face." Turn from their wicked ways. Then will I hear from heaven. Could it be God's waiting to hear? Waiting for those who claim His name? Those who claim to belong to Him? To humble themselves. "God, be merciful to us. We're sinners. We need You, God. We need You. We need Your Holy Spirit to breathe across our land. To renew and refresh. To turn back the tide of wickedness." We don't need more laws. We need God. We need God to turn the tide. The tide will not be turned any other way, beloved. The spirit of our land would be turned no other way except God be pleased. Amen. In His mercy to do for our land, or it will not be done.
That's right. Yes.
Or it will not be done. Oh my. I will hear from heaven. We'll forgive their sin.
Yes.
And heal their land. With those words, beloved, I'm not without hope. With those words, I'm not without hope. I remember one day sitting in a pastor's office, an elderly pastor. I'm the new kid on the block. That young whippersnapper of a preacher just took the church down the creek from where he was, literally down the creek, about 2 miles. And I sat there in his office and trying to show him respect, and he immediately began to tell me how there's no hope for America. That it's too late. God can't revive. I'm trying to be as respectful as I can. But I was coming apart in my gut. Because, beloved, we got a bigger God than America. He's certainly bigger than me. And he was bigger than that old mossy back preacher that give up on God. As long as God is pleased to leave his Holy Spirit here and to leave his people here, there is hope. There's hope. Yes. I'm not without hope. When there's young folks getting saved. I'm thankful. Get that baptistry filled up next week and baptize some. It's a testimony of that God's still working. I'm excited. When these young folks talking about tonight what God did for them, does something for me. Not without hope. God can. God is able to revive again. He's able, beloved. And when you do not believe that anymore, you might as well just pack it in, go out and find a place to dig a rut, go on in it and pull the sod over.
That's right.
What's the point? If I didn't believe that God could still work, I wouldn't be standing here. God can. God is able to do exceeding abundantly, what? Above all that we ask or think. Maybe we're not asking enough. Gives me hope. Would it be possible that God might raise up a people across this land to humbly pray and seek his face? Would it be possible then? I say that facetiously. Is it not in the realm of possibility that the God of glory might lean over the parapets of glory and take notice? As he did time and time again for Israel. As he has done time and time again, even over these last 244 years, in granting times of revival in our nation. That's another message for another day. But beloved, our hope, our nation's hope lies in our churches. Depends on pulpits. Preachers that are willing to preach the righteousness of a holy God and the sinfulness of man. To call out sin for what it is. Our hope lies in our churches, in our pulpits. But most of all, our hope rests in our prayer rooms, our places of prayer. America's hope rests upon the mercy of Almighty God. Almighty God. God's gracious, gracious mercy upon lost souls. I'm thankful to be able to preach about the God of the impossible. If we, If we resolve ourselves to say, it's impossible, as that old preacher said, it's impossible for God to give revival. I've seen a lot of folks saved in those last 30 years. A lot of folks' lives changed. Folks' lives changed for God's glory. Oh my, we must never ever give up on God's ability to intervene in the lives of people, in the affairs of men. Oh my, what must we do? We must never forget God. And as Moses told us, we must remember who God is and what He's done. Let's stand together. Father, Lord, I love You. I'm so thankful to be able to declare that I'm a citizen of glory. I belong to Your kingdom. And of course, we pray, Father, we pray Your kingdom come, Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And so, Father, we want to do right. We want to honor You. I thank You for this church. Thank You for this church family. My prayer is that You'd be pleased, even in these days, to revive Thy work in the midst of the years. Father, please, in wrath, remember mercy. Oh God, please, show Yourself mighty once again. Bear that arm of salvation in our midst. Oh God, I pray, Lord, help me. Lord, I pray. Lord, pray that You take away the fear of men's faces. Lord, I pray that we would be bold for our Savior. God, yes, in these United States of America, we would see that moving, even just once again. But Lord, might we think bigger than that? Might we plead with You? Might we ask for even greater things than that? God, would You be pleased? Oh God, before the trump sounds, before that last day, God, would You might be pleased once again to give a worldwide moving of the Spirit of God. Yes, Lord, please save souls on our shores. But I pray, Father, for this earth planet. God, please use our missionaries, those precious, faithful servants that have left our shores and gone to the far regions, the uttermost parts of the earth, with the life-saving and changing message of the gospel. Lord, I do pray for our leaders in this day. Lord, I pray. Oh God, I pray You save them. Pray You'd save the leaders of the Senate and the House of Representatives in the White House. I pray, Father. Oh God, I pray for Your mercy for them. For our state leaders, our local leaders. God, help us to be not so quick to criticize, but to pray for them. And beg that You might be pleased, Lord, to change the course history, that Jesus Christ, the Savior, the Redeemer of this world, might get the glory and the honor and the praise that He deserves in His creation. Oh God, I beg you. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name and for His glory. Amen and amen. Brother John.
Me, O God, and know my heart today. Try me, O Savior, know my thoughts, I pray. See if there be some wicked way in me. Cleanse me from every sin and set me free. I praise Thee, Lord, for cleansing me from sin. Fulfill Thy word and make me pure within. Fill me with fire where once I burned with shame. Grant my desire to magnify Thy name. Lord, take my life and make it wholly Thine. Fill my poor heart with Thy great love divine. All my will, my passion, self, and pride, I now surrender, Lord, in me. Revival comes from Thee. Send a revival. Start the work in me. Thy word declares Thou wilt supply our need. For blessings now, O Lord, I humbly plead.
Amen. Thank you. Brother Bearfield said something that you hear me quote or say quite often. It's always too soon to quit. And until that day, when God takes His Holy Spirit and His people out of this world, it's too soon to give up on revival. God be pleased to work right here. Start right here, Lord. Inside this jacket. Be fine with me. Brother John.
Let's sing "Wherever He Leads, I'll Go." 351. Let's do 351. Okay. Wherever He Leads. Let's sing. Wherever He leads, I'll go. Wherever He leads, I'll go. I'll follow my Christ who loves me so. Wherever He leads, I'll go. You're dismissed.